KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm your host, Eddie Hughes. Thanks for joining us this morning. We've got a couple very special guests on today's show. Joining us in the studio today is Mountain West champion Ugna Majutaitita of the Fresno State swimming team. But first, I had a conversation with Fresno State baseball coach Mike Batesole earlier this week. Let's get the show started with that interview. Hello, Mike. Thanks for joining us on air and congrats on your team's 4-0 start to the season. Let's talk about that opening weekend sweep at Biden Field. You faced a Creighton team that kept the first two games close, but your pitching staff was really lights out. Your three starting pitchers combined to allow just two earned runs on 11 hits over the three wins. I know you expect big things from that rotation this year, but did that exceed expectations for you?
Yeah, opening weekend especially. You know, your first two starters go out there and give you six solid and don't walk anybody. To me, that was the most impressive thing is they were on it, you know, from the beginning. You know, Jimmy didn't walk anybody on Saturday and Thomas didn't walk anybody on Friday. And even though Jimmy didn't strike a bunch of guys out, he was attacking the zone. He got into the seventh, actually, six and a third. And that's what it's going to take. You know, your starting pitcher's got to do the brunt of the work. And then Arias on Sunday was actually Mountain West Conference Pitcher of the Week. Got in and out of some trouble in the first couple innings, but as a whole, pitched really well.
I know with that rotation, you've got some solid experience there. You've got talent returning this year. Is that the strength of the team?
That's the strength, and that's the key. It's nice to be coaching a team that we're not explaining the play after the play has happened all the time. It's nice to have guys that are thinking with you, and on several occasions, even on the first weekend, guys that were thinking ahead of us. And that's the sign of a good, veteran, smart team. And those are the kind of teams that win championships, the teams that you're coaching during the game instead of coaching on practice. It's tough to get a ring that way. You're always looking a play or two behind instead of a play or two ahead.
You've got that three-man rotation you went with this past week, and this week you've got a four-game series coming up this weekend. Who's the extra pitcher who you're going to give the nod to?
Well, I'm really not sure. You know, we could, if we use our bullpen a lot on Friday night, we'll likely start Barnell, a freshman, in the second game. If we don't use one of those older relievers on Friday night, then I'd like to stay old, start one of those guys. But I don't think we're going to know the full answer to that until Friday night, because our focus number one is going to be everything we have to do to win Friday night.
Now, we've talked about what the pitching's done. Hopefully they keep that up over the remainder of the season, especially early on here when they can kind of carry a young team, so to speak. The offense, not quite as experienced. I know there's some newcomers there, but is the offense where you want it right now, or what would you like to see from them this weekend?
Well, generally, as you know, the pitchers are a little bit ahead of the hitters at the beginning of the season. Taking BP and hitting in the cage is one thing. Standing in on bullpens is one thing. Scrimmaging off your own guys is one thing. But now you get out there underneath the lights and everybody's jacked up and everybody's fastball is a little harder and everybody's breaking ball is a little sharper. You know, especially in our scrimmages, we try not to throw a lot of breaking balls in January. And then you get to the opening weekend, 60% of the pitches, one of the games, they threw breaking balls. So
Yeah. They
just got to get caught up, and they will. And generally it takes about 2 weeks. So I would expect this weekend that we're going to be a little bit behind again, but so will their offense. And then hopefully we'll catch up here, you know, about week three.
I want to talk a little bit about Tuesday's game, your midweek game against Oakland, a university out of Michigan. You guys got in that early hole. You got down a couple times facing some pretty big deficits. But do you take it as a positive that your team was able to overcome some challenges there that early in the season?
Every win's a positive, bud. And especially, holy moly, you know, coming down when you get down six runs. You know, everybody likes to think they can come back from a deficit like that, and you like to talk about it, but there's nothing like actually doing it. You know, we decided to go with the freshman Gonzalez, knowing that there was going to be some jitters. And if you've ever been in that situation in front of a lot of people in the stands, and the first time you're doing something new against older guys, the game can go fast for you. You know, that's what happened. I mean, he was throwing outstanding stuff. I mean, he was 91-92 in the first inning, but the command of it, when things start going fast and you start working a little too hard, you lose your command, and that's what happened. He walked a couple guys, got behind in the count on a couple other guys, But then I was really proud of him. He settled in. He got two zeros in the third and fourth inning on his way out. And he probably learned more in that game than he learned his entire high school career about himself. We're going to run him out there again next Tuesday, and hopefully it'll be a little bit better. And the next Tuesday, a little bit better. And maybe by the middle or end of the year, this kid Gonzalez is so talented, he may be in our rotation.
Gonzalez is obviously one of those freshmen that's going to have a chance right off the bat here to make an impact. Who are some of the other freshmen you're looking at? I know we've seen Jeremiah Burks a little bit this weekend. We saw Zach Ashford a little on Sunday, I think. Talk about those guys and what it's going to take for them to see the field every day.
Yeah, both those guys played in three of our four games, and not because we're trying to get them ready, but because they're one of our best 12 players. And that's really what it takes. You know, in the this isn't football where we play 12 games and six on the road and six at home. And, you know, by the way, they're on Saturday. I mean, we're going to play 70-some games, hopefully. That means you need about 12 position players to contribute. Those two guys are going to be a big part of it. We got some other freshmen that are going to get in there a little bit this weekend. But again, not because we're trying to develop them, but because they've earned it and they're good players. And we expect them to get in there and help us win. And that's exactly what those two guys did. They got in there and they contributed. And made, you know, Burks made some fantastic plays, got a huge hit Tuesday night. And Ashford contributed a couple hits and got a big walk and scored a huge run for us on Tuesday night. So they're in the mix, and I expect them to stay in the mix.
Talk about some of the other guys in the mix and who fans might look out for as far as some of the younger players.
Well, one of the luxuries we have with this team is this is a more experienced team, and it's really nice. You know, even some of the sophomores have been out and played a lot last year. Corby went out and played summer ball after high school, and then they went out and played in Alaska again after their freshman year. And now they're playing again as sophomores. So they're sophomores, but they're not sophomores who sat the bench. They're sophomores who have played. Some of them have played two summers. So they're seasoned, experienced sophomores, more than a lot of teams juniors. So that's the advantage I think this club has, is we got some guys that are good baseball players. We got some baseball rats on this team. And in college baseball, that plays out pretty well.
One of those sophomores you're probably referring to is Aaron Arruda. I know you got big contributions from him, two home runs already this year. Were you expecting that kind of pop from him in the lineup, or has that been a bit of a pleasant surprise?
Well, a little of both. You know, obviously he's hitting in the four hole, so we expect him to drive in some runs early in the year when the ball doesn't carry. And, you know, he's trying to figure this out just like everybody else is these first couple weeks. You know, so to get a couple early is nice. Certainly we didn't expect that, but over the long haul, you know, if he hits two home runs in a week, yeah, nobody's going to bat an eye, you know, 10 weeks from now, but to do it opening weekend, that's a nice surprise, and it was a big part of us winning.
You mentioned your son, Corby Bates. So talk about him as another sophomore who's contributing already to this point in the season and what it's like to coach your own son.
Well, we've got an experienced infield, and I like that. You know, Burks is the only one who hasn't played a lot of Division I baseball, but he's a terrific player. You saw some of the defensive plays he made this weekend. You know, and Veer's the senior at first base, played a lot of third base his freshman year. He was our starting third baseman, played a little bit of both his sophomore year. Last year, all first base. So to have an experienced guy over there, and that's big. You know, that's a guy over there who understands all of our plays at first base, bump plays, first and second, what we're doing first and third, whether it's a drag push or a steal. To have somebody in that corner with as much game experience, you know, he's been out three summers on top of, you know, being a four-year starter now. So you got a real experienced player over there. And then, you know, Corby and Mac have played a lot, very experienced sophomores. You know, just being able to have guys that have been in our system for a couple years really helps. It's nice to look up and all game long they're in the right position and we're not moving guys all over the place.
We've had, you know, pretty much ideal weather for the start of the baseball season so far. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good weekend as well. Talk about the crowds that you get out at Biden Field and what type of difference those crowds can make for your team.
Well, you know, we lead the league in attendance again last year, and that's a huge factor. You know, this can be a difficult place to play, and it's only difficult if, when the fans come out and they're loud. And that's exactly what happened the first weekend, happened all last year. It's happened all since I've been here. We've got amazing fans here, and it's not an easy place to play. You know, some of the places we go, when you go to a Tuesday night game, and, you know, even if you're at USC or UCLA, I mean, there's liable to be 150 people there. You know, you get some scouts and you get some parents, and that's about it. But we have actually fans, people that come to the games because they're Bulldogs and they want to pull for their Bulldogs. And that makes all the difference in the world to our guys, especially in a game, a Tuesday night game you know, like we had last week, and we get behind by six and then come back and win that game 11-10, a lot of that is momentum, and a lot of that is getting pushed by the fans, and there's just no substitute for that.
You know, as someone who grew up in the area and been going to games at Biden Field since before I could walk, one of the things that makes it unique is some pretty iconic fans who are there. You've got Inman Perkins, you've got Sugar Bear, some of those people that Fresno State baseball fans might identify with. Talk about your team. Do they feed off that when they hear Sugar Bear up there yelling and kind of razzing the other team?
Hey, again, when you're going through, you know, the season can be long, and you're looking for anything that you can to keep you going and keep you motivated. And again, when some of these places we go to on the road, it's not there. To have that at home makes it really special, and these guys feed off it big time, and we all do. What those guys do up there to keep us going is priceless.
I've got to ask you, too, do you guys ever find yourself kind of smirking or laughing at some of the stuff you hear out of the stands?
You know, I see the kids once in a while, and I got to wonder what they're laughing at. But, you know, I'm down in that corner by the helmet rack, and I'll tell you what, I can't hear the music. I can't hear anything from where I'm at. So I miss a lot of stuff, but the kids fill me in generally after the game if there's a good one.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are staying pretty focused down there. And speaking of focus, I'm sure that's one of the things it's going to take to reach your goals this year. I assume that goal is to win the Mountain West Championship. Talk about what it'll take to accomplish those things.
Well, we've got to pitch more than just one weekend. You know, we got one in the bank. We got to continue. You know, we played fantastic defense. When I talk about defense, I'm talking about defense in the infield. We were making error in the infield the whole weekend. I know they gave us one, but that wasn't an error. And that's fantastic. I mean, Division I baseball, if you make one a game, you're likely to be in the top 10 in the country. This isn't the big leagues. This isn't a big league field. It's not perfect. And these kids aren't perfect. So just to make one a game, you would be considered outstanding. So those two things have to stay in play. And then maybe the biggest thing, almost every year if you look up, the team that has the best road league record almost always wins it. So we got to do well at home, which we've always done, but we got to win on the road too. You get those games, you get two out of three on the road, that's way huge for as far as winning a championship.
Is this team hungry to get back to that? I know you're a coach that's used to winning a lot of championships here. You've done it over a long span. Talk about this team and their hunger, what you've seen from them to this point.
Well, you know, we got a little spoiled there. You know, it's 7 years in a row that we got a ring. I mean, try to get one. And that's 7 years in a row that nobody else in the league got any. All the other teams, nobody got any. You know, so getting a ring is very difficult to do. We had several years where every guy in the program had a ring for every year they were in the program. I mean, that's just unheard of. It's unbelievable. So now we've gone 3 years without one. And there's two big factors there. Number one is a couple years ago, we had six guys drafted in the first 15 rounds, high school kids that we recruited to come and play for us, and all of them signed. And in fact, the two guys in the 15th round both got $250,000 in the 15th round. So, I mean, some fantastic players that if we just get one or two of those guys, they're program changers, and we got none of them. So now we're out recruiting in July and August, and it just that can devastate a program for a couple years. On top of that, we just haven't been as tough, as thick-skinned, as grinders as we were during those years when we were winning. And last year we got a real part of that back. You know, we were 18-12 last year in league. That means you win two out of every three.
Right.
And some years that's enough to win a ring. Last year it wasn't. So I like the mentality. We got that back. And now the fact that we're older and not young, those two things together I think can really help this club.
Well, let's hope the Red Wave shows out in force this weekend for you guys, helps you out as much as they can. And let's hope the Dogs pick up a few more wins. Coach Mike Batesel, thanks for joining us on the show today. And we wish you all the best this season.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. And now we welcome Mountain West champion Ugna Majutaitita to the studio. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Thanks for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
And so you've got some exciting news later today. You'll be heading up to Seattle. Tell us a little bit about what you'll be doing there.
Yes, I'm on my way to go to Pac-12's conference to try again just to swim a bit faster, my 200 backstrokes, so I would ensure my spot in NCAAs.
Now, you just won the gold in the 200-yard backstroke at the Mountain West Championships last week in Texas. Take me through that meet and how it felt to come out victorious.
It was a really long meet. I've never had such a long meet, first of all, and it was great. The team, was really supportive. It was a really interesting meet. I've never had such an emotional roller coaster in my entire life. But yeah, we first started quite hard, all of us, our team. But we had a lot of great girls swim really fast. And as the days went through, it got better and better.
What made it such an emotional roller coaster, as you
well,
described it?
I remember when I got the gold medal, I came back. We had to go for dinner, and it was about 11 o'clock. So we got there, and I just opened the door, and all the parents were just standing and clapping for me. So it was really nice, and I almost cried. It was really nice. And just when you realize that the meet is over, and some of the girls are graduating this year, they're not going to be there next year, and they're not going to train with us, it's just sad, because it's like sisters for me, so... Like some of the sisters are going to go away. Yeah.
So it was a little bit of happiness and sadness,
yes,
all at once.
Yes.
And talk about, did you get to stand up on a podium, or what's that like when you win an event at the Mountain West Championships?
Yes, I had to go to victory ceremony. It was amazing. My coach gave me the medal and it was something magical. Yeah.
And you're only a freshman here, so you're new to the area. You're from Lithuania. Tell me about what got you to Fresno State. What attracted you to the university originally?
Well, I always knew I'm going to go to U.S. to study and to swim because, well, everyone does that in Lithuania. If you're good enough at swimming, you're probably going to go to U.S. So I contacted my coach, Jean, and she was really interested in me. So she came to visit me to kind of talk me in to swim at Fresno State. And I said yes, and here I am.
What's been the toughest adjustment so far for you?
The first week, probably the conditioning was really hard. I've never had such a hard practice. And I asked one girl, I was like, so is this how all the practice are going to be like? And she was like, no, you're going to get used to it. Because the first week, I remember I Skyped my mom. I was almost crying. And I said, I don't think I'm going to handle this. Yeah, but I did. And it's nice when the hard work pays off.
So you got a little bit homesick at first, maybe, but
yeah.
Are you used to the practices now? Have you become more accustomed to it?
Practice was hard back in Lithuania, but what I found the most hard was conditioning the dry land. I've never done weights. I did weights, but not that hard.
What kind of conditioning do you do here? Lifting weights?
Yeah, we lift weights, but before we come here, we do a lot of cardio. So we run stadiums. We just run a lot. So that was really new to me. I like running, but it's really hard.
Have you seen the results? Has it paid off in your competitions?
Yes, definitely.
Now, you were able to shave quite a bit of time off since you've been here, right? Talk about that and how you did it.
Well, as I said, the hard work pays off. All the time, I just try to work as hard as I can. Every practice, I gave 100% of me. And if sometimes things didn't happen, I would be really sad. And I knew that even if it's really hard to swim this practice, I know that after that, when I'm going to do good, then I'm going to be really tired. I'm going to feel so good. So I was just going.
What's been the most fun part of attending college in the U.S. and being here in Fresno at Fresno State with your teammates?
Well, I really like outdoors pool because back in Lithuania, it's really cold. Right now, it's actually still winter and it's snowing. So it's really nice to get a tan and it's hot and it's nice. And of course, team is the best thing, I think. It's amazing. It's so supportive and it really helps to swim hard practice to see where you are.
How do the facilities compare here to what you're used to back home?
Back home, I don't know if people would come here. They back in Lithuania would be like, oh, are you swimming here? No way. But yeah, it's really different. That's why I really like about here is everything is near and close. All the therapies, shoulder stuff. So I was working every day to make them stronger. It's really nice that it's near, close. I don't have to travel an hour to get there.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the Summer Olympics are coming up. I've heard that you've got some high ambitions there. What's your plan regarding the Olympics? Are you full bore trying to make the team right now? Or
yes,
talk
I
about
am.
That.
I want so bad. So, yeah, right now we are changing to long course. So it's good that I'm going to swim a bit more in long course pool just to get used to it. Because going from 25 yards to long course 50 meters, it's such a difference. You swim and you're like, oh, when is the turn? Come on. But yeah, I feel like it's going to happen. I feel stronger and think it's going to be good. I still have time. So I'm going to go to Europe Championship in May. I'm going to try there. And I have Mesa in April. It's going to be great.
What will it take to accomplish that dream of being an Olympian? Do you have sort of a plan mapped out about what you need to do to make that a reality?
Yeah, I guess I'm just going to, again, work as hard as I can. Maybe right now I'm really trying to eat super clean because I just want to stand on block when there's going to be Europe Championship, or the last meet that I'm going to be able to do a cut is going to be home, my Lithuanian Nationals, a week after Europe Championship. So I just want to stand on the blocks and just say to myself, I did everything that I can. I worked hard. I had a clean diet. I'm mentally strong. So I just want to be like, definitely going to happen. I mean, there's no way something's going to go wrong.
Are you daydreaming right now about what that would mean?
Oh, yeah. I'm listening to Rio soundtrack all the time. The Disney movie. Yeah, I'm doing that. Visualizing myself in Rio. Yeah.
What would it mean just to represent your country at that level?
It would be amazing. I mean, representing my country is a lot. Just being from the family that I came from, all the swimmers. My parents are swimmers. My grandmother is a swimmer. Everyone is a swimmer in my family. So it would just mean a lot to go to Olympics and to say, yeah, I did it. But also because I'm a freshman and it's my first year in U.S., it would mean a lot just because I'm a student and I did it. I didn't need to break a whole year to get ready. So, yeah, it would mean a lot.
And I'm sure you've got a lot of support, too. Not only are you representing your home country, but you'll be representing Fresno State if you make the Olympics. Have you gotten a lot of support here, people trying to help you in any way they can?
Yes. Keisha is my biggest fan. I love her. Yeah. And of course, team and coaches, everyone. Yeah. Everyone is really supportive.
Talk about Keisha a little bit.
She's my study school advisor. We have weekly meetings and I love her. She's just so nice to me. And she's always like, good morning, sunshine. And it just makes my day better all the time. And I'm really happy to have her.
Does that help a lot to have that kind of support system here, you know, coming from so far away?
Yes. She's always like, oh, I know you're going to go to Olympics. I'm going to cheer for you. I'm like, yeah, thank you.
And then you mentioned that you grew up around swimming. What age did you first get in the pool and start competitive swimming?
I think I was 5 when I first started competitive swimming. I think my grandmother, she rode me down into this competition and it was my first meet. I couldn't jump in the water because it was just too deep. So she would take my arm and just dip me in the water so I could just go and swim 50 meter backstroke. And I remember I get back home and I did the, like a painting. I just took a pencil and I just drew a lot of small people and my mom with my mom's long hair and my grandmother. And yeah, I was just swimming. It was great. I still have that painting. It's really funny.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Now, did your dad coach in the Olympics also?
Yes, he was a head coach in Sydney 2000 Olympics.
Was it men's and women's?
Yes, but he had 2 swimmers, I believe. They were pretty fast.
So what's he think about what you're doing nowadays?
Oh, he's so glad that, first of all, that I came here, and he's so happy. He's really supportive.
It sounds like he's knowledgeable on swimming. Did that help with your upbringing as far as training and knowing how to become good at it?
Yes, it's always good. My dad, he was just... I think that the best advice I've ever took from him was, I believe in 2011, I was going to a junior festival, something like that. It was one of the biggest meets I've ever had so far. And I was really stressing out and really scared. And he said, don't worry, it's the same pool. Everything is going to be the same as all the competitions you had. So don't worry. There are a lot of big meets, but they're just the same. The pool is the same. So I guess it's the best advice I've ever had. And I always go knowing that nothing is going to surprise me. It's going to be same thing, same 200 back or 100, whatever it will be.
Yeah. So is there a chance he could coach you in this Olympics?
No, you're probably going to stay home, maybe watch me on TV. But yeah, it's going to be cool.
He won't get to make the trip?
No, he probably just going to watch TV. Yeah.
As a lot of people
I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
Cross that line when it gets here, I guess. What are the major differences you've experienced living in the U.S.?
Food. I always have to look what I'm eating because back in Lithuania, everything is, I would say the food is pretty good in Lithuania. And here it's really hard. It's tempting to eat a pizza or something really bad. Probably the major thing. And of course, hard practice and team. So back in Lithuania, I would only swim with boys. And now I'm here with 26 girls. So it's really interesting experience, but we do a lot of team building. That's what I found really different, because back in Lithuania, everyone was just to themselves. They didn't care a lot about teams. So it's really nice to come here and everyone is so supportive.
Going back to last week in the Mountain West Championships a little bit, I got to watch you compete on the Mountain West Network. It looked like your main competitor from Boise State, she jumped out to that early lead, and then you kind of finished really strong that second half down the stretch. Was that your strategy going in to come on strong at the end?
Or? Yeah, my second half is always the best, and everyone is laughing at me because they know that, especially for 200 back, I jump in and they don't even look. And then there's 100 left. They're like, okay, now we start watching because she's going to catch her. And yeah, it's really funny because I don't know. It's just the way I am. Yeah, I like to swim that. Be like, ha, surprise.
When you're right in the middle of that backstroke, can you see peripherally if you're in front or not?
Yeah, I don't. Usually it's best if you stay your head without any looking. With the corner of my eyes, I always see a couple people, two lanes maybe. But yeah, in lane one, you usually see some motion of hands and you'd be like, oh, okay, I see that girl. I gotta get her.
So you knew you won.
Yeah, I mean, after the last 25, I was okay because I felt I still have a lot of, not a lot, but I knew it's going to be enough for 25 and I was just going. I guess, yeah, when it was 25 left, I was like, yeah, I got this.
I noticed watching the event that as soon as you looked up, it looked like you were looking up at your time right away. Did you already know you had won at that point or were you just looking to see if you had a personal record? And
well, you never know because as I said, maybe there's a girl at lane one or someone, you know, to surprise you. So it's always good to check at first before you do anything. But I was interested at time and how did I do? Yeah, I always look at my splits all the time to see how I did, how I finished, what are mistakes, what should I improve more.
And like you said, you still want to shave your time down a little more to
yes.
prepare for your Olympic dreams. Talk about what you think you need to do as far as that goes.
I guess the swimming is good. It's just little things like start and turns and maybe a bit of tempo at first because I really like to save myself for the first 50 or first 100. And then I just go all out at the end. So maybe just starting a bit faster. Yeah.
And we should mention you were named Mountain West Freshman of the Year at the event. So congratulations on
that. Thank
you. I mean, you're only a freshman. As far as Fresno State swimming goes, what's the next goal on the list for you heading into your future years?
Well, of course, NCAAs, holding my first place for sure. Yeah, that's it. And just making Fresno State famous. And
does it feel neat to be able to represent a university at that stage also?
Yeah.
As far as your team, what are the team goals that you have?
I don't know. I'm pretty happy about my team. I'm really excited about the new freshmen that are going to come next year.
When did you first realize that you were this good at swimming? Did you know at a young age?
Yeah, I guess I was always swimming fast, but there were always some other girls that were faster than me. And I remember the first time I was like 12, maybe, I started going to swimming camps. I remember I was always swimming last. I was just this small, skinny kid that could never make time intervals. And everyone was like, oh, you're just too young and too small and you're not going to do a lot. But yeah, here I am. I'm still swimming fast. And some of the girls that were always outstanding me are not even swimming anymore. So it's really fun to watch just myself that I was always going kind of first all the time and just always improving myself.
And did you grow up doing multiple events or have you always kind of?
No, always backstroke.
Always never, backstroke?
Yeah, just backstroke.
Is that what you started with or how did you?
Yes.
You were just sort of a natural at it?
Yeah, I would say maybe I'm the first one that I was always sticking to what I was swimming, 200 back, just backstroke in general.
Did that feel natural to you right away, or did you have to learn the nuances?
I can't remember. I was 5 when I learned it, and I was just swimming since then. So,
well, we really appreciate your time today, Ugna. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to be cheering you on in the Olympics this summer.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks again to our guests, Mike Batesol and Ugna Majutaititu, and a shout out to my co-host, Fresno State's Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.